Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
With infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Into the Fray. If this is your first time listening to Into the Fray, welcome to the weird little party. My name is Shannon LeGros. I will be your host through the twists and turns that is ITF. Homepage for Into the Fray is intothefrayradio.com. There you can find all of the episodes, contact information for me, the blog posts, and of course the stickers that are now available to order. You can subscribe to Into the Fray in most all podcatchers. Also, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you are a new listener and have not yet done so, or if you're an old listener and have not yet done so, please go rate and review ITF in your podcatcher of choice. It helps out tremendously. More weird stories for you guys to enjoy, because more people will email me. New patrons over at patreon.com. Christine, Jason, Kelly, Jurassic Mark, Corey, Lisa, Oscar, Carla, Ty, Patricia, Glenn, Aurora, Rick, Ted, Don, Jen, Brian, Charlie, Andrew, and Richard and Chuck both increased their pledge levels. And just as a mention, a couple of the newest Patreon episodes up at patreon.com would be the Monsters Among Us Rewind episode that I did with Derek Hayes. Derek actually chose some really unique calls that he got into his show for me to review with him. We talked about shadow people, UFOs, creatures, and really one of the most unique Bigfoot encounters I have ever heard. And that episode is actually available on both of our Patreons. Also, specific to the ITF Patreon, one of the new ones is the UFO Video Showdown that had Sam Ryan and myself on a video chat together for the very first time. I showed and then we discussed many purported UFO videos, along with some of my patrons that decided to join in as well. At this moment, there are nearly 90 patron-only episodes, both audio and video. All of those episodes, along with the extra perks, are available to you instantly at even just the $5 level. There are higher levels, of course, which get you stickers, signed books, and more. So you can head to patreon.com and simply search Into the Fray. It'll pop right up and you can peruse the different pledge levels. And last but not least, coming October 9th to the Cash Event Center in Logan, Utah. From author John Olson, you've heard him on ITF before, he brings you Bridgerland Para X. I myself will be there not only speaking, but saying hello and signing books all day long. Other speakers include John Marshall and, of course, John Olson, both of whom have been on ITF before, guys. Shane Daniels Jr. of Bear River Paranormal, Annette Bunce, and Mike and Melissa of Destination Mystery. More announcements coming, so keep an eye on the socials for more of that. I know they will have vendors and games, all sorts of things going on. We're still working on all the details for that. You can get in touch with John Olson if you are interested in being a vendor, by the way. He is on Facebook, and you can also join the Bridgerland Para X group on Facebook. So keep early October in mind to join us in beautiful Utah. All right, so before my talk with Tina, I want to apologize real quick for an audio distortion you will hear in the very beginning of my talk with her. It lasts only 1 minute, literally 1 minute. So just hang in there and it will clear right up. I want to thank Tina again for coming on. If you have a strange story that you would like to share on Into the Fray, contact me, Shannon, at intothefrayradio.com. We are talking because I kind of put up this little post just to go fishing, as I say, and it was the Be My Guest post, and I am not going to ruin this little surprise for anyone, but you follow the instructions perfectly. You put down four little words, and then I said, oh yes, I'm contacting Tina. So that's all it took. So I am going to step aside, Miss Senna, and I'm going to let you tell your story.
At the time, I was living with my grandmother, and so this is my childhood home that I grew up in, and it was before I moved out, and so I was coming back to her house, well, the family house, and I left work. This was around 2000, just to set up the year for anyone who's listening. So I left work, I went to school, it was at UMass Boston, and then I was coming home, and the fastest way to get home to that you could walk without waiting for the bus was to get off at this particular station. And the station I know is in an old part of Dorchester Center where the natives would, which I didn't realize until I looked it up, the natives essentially told Codman, he's the namesake, that build there, basically, that it was a sacred space, but of course they didn't listen, so they built a whole entire, you know, town there. So I'm walking from the station, my usual route. I walked from there every day, every time I had class. I think it was a Tuesday because I had classes on Tuesdays and Fridays, I think. But I know it was the middle of the week because I was talking about this for days. And so I'm walking from the station. It's a residential area, a lot of family homes and whatnot, and everyone's on their porches. It's kind of, I'd say, like, early fall, because it was kind of still warm in the air. It was still kind of warm. I didn't have a coat on. I just had a bag with me. And I'm walking down the street, the usual, and people on their stairs, people are coming out of their cars from work or whatever they're doing, go up to their porches. Just, you know, usual thing that happens every night when you're walking down the street in any neighborhood in the U.S. So I get to the end of the street, and there was this old church, which has since been rebuilt, but it was, like, really gothic-looking, and when I got to the church, I realized that all of a sudden, there was silence. The air was just devoid of sound, as if, like, I don't know, like your ears are popping on a plane kind of thing, and then it was just silence, and it was something that stopped me in my tracks, because it was really noticeable. It was like, okay, did I just go deaf, or did everything just stop? And so I remember turning around and looking down the street, and all of a sudden, all the lights are gone. It's all dark. People are no longer on their porches. They're not coming out of their cars. There are no lights on anyone's porches. There's no street lights, nothing. It's just total darkness all the way down the street. And if you live in Boston, you're just used to it. You're just like, oh, we're having a blackout. And so, but this eeriness, like this, where did everyone go? Why did it happen so quickly? Why isn't anyone outside saying, oh, there's a blackout or anything? But there was that layer, that under layer of, I feel like people who experience something paranormal always, always notice this layer where they know for a fact there's something weird happening. Above it, you're just like, okay, you're trying to rationalize, but underneath it, you're like, yeah, I know something weird is happening here. You just get that vibe. And so I was like, I'm just going to turn around and walk home as quick as I can. But as I turn around to walk, it's like all of a sudden there's this crackling and this static in the air. And it was this feeling like I was just stuck right in my spot. And I was just, and that's when I realized, oh my God, something is about to happen. Something is about to happen, because it's the same feeling I used to get when I would have sleep paralysis episodes or something coming on, just that feeling like, oh my God, something bad is going to happen. Something bad is going to happen. And so I turned to the church. And I don't know why I turned to the church. I don't know why I turned to the right and looked in that direction, but something just made me turn to that direction. And I turned and looked at the church, and there is this, oh my God, just thinking about it's freaking me out. I'm sorry, it's daylight and it's freaking me out. But I turned towards the church, and all I see is this giant bush, which was like a giant hedge that pretty much like covered the whole front face of the church. They had this huge hedge that was about like maybe 10 foot tall. And I just saw the hedges part, and then this snout comes out like a, oh my goodness, like a elongated kind of like snout, like a wolf's snout, like just a snout just comes out. And the hands are, the fingers are long, there's long nails, and it's just, and I'm like, oh my God, like I'm just staring at it, but I can't move. And then the head just pokes out further, and I realized this thing is like literally like 8 feet tall. It's got the top half of a man. It has a shirt on, which to this day cannot recall. I wish I could recall, because it would have been funny if it was a plaid shirt, because you know how that's the thing now. And I was just like, I wonder what shirt he was wearing, because I can't recall. For some weird reason, I cannot recall the shirt. But it had a shirt on, and it had parted the, you know, the hedges, and it just poked its head out and looked at me. And I'm looking at it, and I'm in my head, I'm like, I'm looking at a freaking werewolf. Like, there is no other thing on planet Earth that I have that looks like this. This is a werewolf. This is everything I've ever seen in a movie that resembles a werewolf. This is legit. I'm looking at excuse my language, I'm looking at a damn werewolf. Like, how is this possible? And I'm processing all these thoughts like a million miles, like a second, like in my head, like, okay, I can't run, so what am I going to, can I scream, like, I can't talk, like, what am I going to do, like, what if he jumps out and lunges at me and grabs me? I kept thinking all these things, but instead, I'm just staring at him in his eyes, and it's like, he had these, they weren't really red, that's the thing, they were more like a orangey yellow, like, the orange was so luminescent, it could have resembled fire, but it was more like an orange. And then it had like little yellow specks or swirls in it. And they were bright because you could look right at the eyes and literally see the colors. Like the eyes were so piercing. And then it opens its, like its elongated jaw like snow, and then all the teeth. And I'm just like, I'm going to die. Like I can't move. There's like this weird static in the air. I can't hear anything. Like I can't move. I can't even move to turn to look left or right or anything. And there's this giant werewolf thing staring at me. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. To this day, I like sometimes when I recall the story, I cannot piece together what happened between him opening up his mouth like and showing me his fangs, and then me suddenly running down the street. I cannot piece together what happened in between that space, but I just recall I'm running down the street into what is known as Codman Square. I'm literally running into the square, and I hit the square. And I get to the middle where, like, the road, there's, like, a huge intersection. And I get to the intersection, and I'm, like, I look around, I'm, like, I left my bag. And the entire time, which I should have said before, I had a purse that was on my shoulder. I had a black Coach purse, like a little leather purse, like a kind of like a tote bag on my shoulder. And I'm, like, I'm not going anywhere without my bag, because whoever, whatever that is going to grab my bag. They're going to know where I live. They're going to look through my things. Hell no. I need to run back and get my bag. So I'm just, like, looking around in the square. I'm like, do I see any police cars? Do I see anybody? Like, do I see anyone that'll walk back with me? Can I get help? Like, what am I going to say? And I don't see anyone. There's no one walking down the street. It's just cars. Just cars, cars, cars driving. And I'm like, you know, F this. I'm going back for my bag. So I turn back around, and I walk slowly, slowly, because I'm just trying to assess the situation. Like, is something going to jump out at me? I need to get my bag. And Shannon, I get back to the street, and I will never for the life of me forget this. I get to the street. It's lit up again like normal. There's people on their porches, people getting out of their cars, cars driving away and whatnot, and there is my bag sitting dead in the middle of the street, upright, just sitting there. Like, it's just sitting there, as if it was just placed there. It's sitting there. It doesn't look like I dropped it there, like it was thrown, nothing. It's just sitting upright waiting for me. And I'm like, this is just, I don't know, like, what was actually going through my head at the time. I was, like, 21 years old at the time. But I just, like, ran up and grabbed my bag. I looked at the church hedges real quick. Everything looked normal. There was, like, no hole in the hedges, nothing. I just grabbed my bag and I ran. I ran all the way home. I did not stop. No matter how out of breath I was, I took track when I was in high school, but that still does not make up for the fact that I killed myself running all the way home. I ran straight home. I burst through the door. First thing I said to my mother and sister, who was sitting in the kitchen, was, I just saw a werewolf. That's literally what I said to her. I said, I just saw a werewolf. I just saw a werewolf. And my mother stops and looks at me like, is this like a joke? Or like, my mother didn't know how to, like, you know, gather. She didn't know what I was trying to do, like if I was playing a joke on her or whatever. But my sister goes, first words out of my sister's mouth, I believe you. And the reason she had said that to me is because when we were kids, she had a similar experience literally in front of the house. So it's like she's had this with her for years. So she literally looked me in the face, said, I believe you. I believe you. And I was just like, oh my God, I legit saw a werewolf. And now watching a lot of werewolf films and like reading comic books and things, the only actual werewolf, like the actual design that I can tell you 1,000, 1,000,000% resembles what I saw is the werewolves from Dog Soldiers. I cannot even watch that whole movie because the way they're designed in that film is exactly, I swear to you, Shannon, this is not an exaggeration. I'm not like trying to elaborate to make it sound cool or nothing. This werewolf that I saw looked exactly like the werewolves designed for the movie Dog Soldiers. Just the uncanniness. It was just crazy. And I don't have any explanation for it. I don't even know what to think of it. I didn't have werewolves on the mind as I was walking down the street. I wasn't drunk or on drugs or anything. Nothing crazy like that. I was just walking down the street from class, just thinking about all the things I have to do. And it happened, and I'm like, it is just thinking about it. I'm sitting in my room, and I'm just looking around my room. It's just like, it's just, I have absolutely no explanation for it. Nothing. I have nothing to tell you that would explain what happened at all.
I absolutely love this story because I honestly, when you put on the Facebook group in the comments, you put, I saw a werewolf, and that was the thing that I wasn't going to tease there before we started. And I thought, well, maybe she means, you know, dog man, but I sometimes use the words interchangeably, even though really they're not the same thing. But Tina, you mean a damn werewolf. That's exactly what you mean. The whole clothing thing, the shirt, that gave me chills. I was not expecting that. And I can't imagine actually seeing it, because just hearing this story, I'm going, probably the no list, because 8 foot tall, you know,
exactly.
Massive thing popping out of the bushes. How close to it were you?
I was honestly, so I've gone since walked down that street since then in the ensuing years, and I can honestly tell you, I always look at the distance. And like I said, they changed the church now, they rebuilt it, they refurbished it and whatnot, and it doesn't have that long hedge, that gigantic hedge going around it. It just has like a little fence. But I was off to the side, off of the sidewalk a little bit, like off the curb, and this was in the hedges, which was like the line where the lawn, before the lawn hits the sidewalk. So I would say it was literally the distance of the sidewalk, which is probably like, I don't know, like 3 feet.
Oh.
It was, yes, it was a distance, I swear to you, the two of us were separated by the sidewalk. That's what we were separated by. And the sidewalk, any normal sidewalk you walk down, you'd notice it's like about 3 feet. Like a 3 feet, you know, distance. Yeah, about 3 feet from each other. Literally the size of the sidewalk.
And then I suppose by the time his snout came out, if you went from snout to Tina, it was even closer then, right? So,
oh my goodness.
Oh, can you go into any more detail about its face? You know, were there certain parts of the face where it had less hair, more hair, things like that?
Definitely. I remember around the eyes because the eyes were, remember I was saying the eyes were so piercing that I kept staring at the eyes. I noticed that he had like a brow ridge because it kind of looked like he had eyebrows, but there was hair coming off of the eyebrows extending into the forehead. But it looked like the hair was coming from eyebrows. Like the eyebrows were so thick that they were literally reaching back into the hairline, if that makes any sense. Like it was just pulling, like it was going in that direction. But the brow ridge was really distinct so that you saw that he had like these eyebrows, like these crazy like hooded eyes over these luminescent orange yellow eyes. And then I know that his elongated snout, he had little pieces of hair like just coming off of it. Little sparse pieces because you could kind of see the skin underneath, but honestly it was so dark I could not recall the skin tone. I know it was a darker skin tone because it blended in with the darkness, but you could see the hair on top of it, and it was kind of sparse, so it was like you could see the skin underneath, but it was still dark, so it didn't even matter. It was like hairy through and through. There was not a spot on the face where actually maybe closer when it opened its mouth and snarled, like the lip, the bottom part of the lips. I don't recall any hair underneath. So it was just like underneath the lip, underneath. It was just, well, we don't have hair on our lips, so that kind of makes sense. But yeah, it kind of stopped up above the lip line. But it was really sparse because you could see the skin underneath, like the leathery kind of skin underneath. It's just, I can't for the life of me recall the color at all.
And so its hands are pretty much all that you saw of maybe, you know, no forearm. Did you see any of that coming out of that thing?
Not really, because the way it separated the hedge and pulled the trees back, there was darkness beyond that. So all I saw was the sleeves of the shirt, and when it pulled its head out, the top collar of the shirt, and then the elongated, like the fingers were really long, too long. The fingers curled out on the side of the hedges and kind of wrapped back into the hedges. So it looked like it was grabbing onto the hedges. Like the fingers weren't just like laying on the surface of the hedges. They went back in into the hedges. So they came out long. The nails were kind of like, it's kind of funny, but honestly, you know how when people get manicures and it looks like they have those stiletto nails, the pointy kind of like, yeah, just like that. It's funny, but it's true. So it was kind of like long, elongated like that, and they went out, and then it's like he grabbed on into the hedges, and his nails and fingers went back into the hedges. Like he just grabbed on, latched onto them. So it was like that. And so all I caught was the top of the hand, a little bit past the wrist, then the shirt, the whatever scraggly kind of shirt he had on, but no, and I think a little bit of the shoulders when his snout came out, and he extended it didn't look like he had a neck. It just shoulders came out. So there was no neck. So when his snout came out, when he just pushed forward, like leaned forward, it was just shoulders. The shoulders pulled right out into the open. But there was just, I didn't see any like extension of the arms or anything like that.
So it was like Jay Cutler just with a snout just popping right out of the bush at you. That's nice.
Yes. No neck, just basically like trapezoids, like the trapezius. Yeah, exactly. That's all I saw was like it extended into the shoulders. That's it. But I didn't, there was no like neck. There was no, and honestly, at the angle that I was, I don't think I would have been able to see a neck anyways, because his snout came out and then he extended himself. I don't think I would have been able to see a neck if I had been, unless I was like at an angle or anything.
Yeah, or unless you're like 7'5", right? And he wasn't looking basically down at you. If you had walked even closer, he would have been looking down at you. If he's 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's funny what my brain just automatically does, which I always try to go, hey, Shannon, just because you see it that way, that's not how it is. Not that I saw him in a wife beater or anything for the shirt, but I just heard shirt, so I just thought, short sleeve shirt. I don't know why, but it actually had a long sleeve shirt of some kind on.
Yes, it was definitely long sleeve because I saw the thing. That's when I realized, oh, it's wearing a shirt. Like, that's how it came into my head, is because when the hands came out and he grasped at the edges of the, you know, the opening of the hedge, that's when the pieces of the fabric came through. So it was definitely a longer shirt, because that came, that basically came out when the hands came out. So it extended out, like, I literally saw fabric on both sides. So it was definitely a shirt. And then again, so I'm 5'8", and obviously, and the reason I know he was about 8 feet is because I work in a hardware store, and I'm consistently selling 2x4x8. I know what 8 feet looks like. Like, I was kind of sure then, but I'm 100% sure now. The way he angled and, like, looked down at me, it's not like he, his body or anything angled. It's like the snout and everything angled right down at me. You know what I mean? It kind of cast a shadow, so I could not see in there anything else. It was just like he just angled his face down at me. He didn't angle his body. It's not like he crouched down or nothing. He angled, like, as if he tipped his head down when he parted the hedges and, like, angled right at me. I couldn't see anything because everything was shrouded in that shadow of darkness. I just saw when the hands came out, I saw, and the weird thing is there was no light, so I don't know if it was moonlight or something that was reflecting off of all that, because, like I said, the street all the way down was completely dark. But it wasn't, like, so dark as in, like, you can't see your hand in front of you. Obviously, it's, like, you know, illuminated by the sky and whatnot. He, because he angled like that, he cast a shadow, which is why, like I said, I never saw a neck. I couldn't see, like, any chest or anything like that. I just saw, you know, that face come out, the hands, and then the parts of the shirt. And then, you know, because he pushed himself out forward to, like, literally so I could see him, I saw the top half of the shoulders and whatnot. But everything else was, like, shrouded in darkness.
Now, that thing is pretty damn scary just in and of itself, but did it make it worse that it had a piece of human clothing on?
Yeah, because that's when it solidified for me. I was looking at a werewolf, because I'm like, if it didn't have clothing on, I would be like, okay, it was like a dog-looking man thing. But when you see clothes, I'm just thinking, like, American Werewolf in London, like, something like somebody just transformed and still had clothes on. That's exactly what I got from them. Like, why is it wearing something on the top that's cloth-like that looks like it resembles a shirt? Because no, I didn't see any buttons, and no, I didn't see an actual, like, collar, but I saw fabric hanging off of the top of its shoulders. And to this, honestly, as long and as many years have passed by, I would never dare to say, oh yeah, I saw a collar and button. No, I didn't see any of that. That's a blur to me, complete blur to me. I just know there was fabric coming down off his, like, you know, his trapezius, like just falling down, like, you know, just like a shirt or like a piece of fabric falling down the shoulders and then, you know, coming off on the arm. So to me, obviously a shirt, because I can't think of any other piece of clothing that's going to be grasping your arms and, you know, around your torso. It wasn't like it was a monk's hood, and it wasn't like it was a dress or anything. It wasn't anything that you would think of, okay, this isn't covering his entire body. It was something that was literally covering the top half of him that I could see. Like, pretty much like a shirt.
I think that'd be a pretty good advertisement for whatever shirt that was. Like, oh, look, this shirt can withstand a werewolf transforming from human to werewolf and back again. I'm sorry, exactly. I'm not trying to make light of this. It's terrifying, but... Oh.
No, it's funny. The way you're saying it, it's levity. We need some levity.
this thing...
It didn't have any... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was saying it didn't have, like, an actual distinct kind of, like, shape around it. It just looked like it might have been, like, rags, or maybe it was kind of, like, torn or something, because it didn't have distinct armholes, like, neat. You know what I mean?
Right.
It wasn't, like, neatly cut. It was just hanging out. Mm. But it wasn't, like, something that was neatly, you know, nothing with seams or anything.
What the hell, Tina? Oh, my goodness me. You poor thing. I don't think I'd want to see that thing. They're not that close. I mean, 3 feet? Okay. We know how tall it is, and you're awesome to, you know, you're like, look, I know exactly how tall this thing is, and here's why. That is awesome. High five. How about how far across you think he was around the shoulders?
Oh, see, now, that I can tell you for sure, that when the arms parted and I could see, like, the top of the shoulders, no exaggeration, that was, like, a good 3 or 4 feet, legit. That, it was a huge span, literally, like, I'm looking at my window in front of me now. I have a really wide window. It was literally like the length of my window. My window in front of me is about like 3 feet and some change. It was that wide. It was pretty wide. I didn't see the full shoulders, mind you. I saw the trapezius down towards the beginning of the shoulders and what looked like fabric on it. And then the way it parted, I'm talking about the when it part, the partition, when it parted the hedge, mm-hmm. and the part that came out, that's how wide that was. So I don't know about anything else, how big he probably was, if his entire body came out of there or whatever, but it was pretty wide. Yeah.
Well, I'm happy for you that you didn't see more of him, you know, that he didn't just step out from behind that bush, and that he didn't step out, because forget that. Okay, the glaring thing here is this high strange aspect. Not that the werewolf in and of itself isn't strange. It's just the high strangeness of the eerie feeling, the static in the air. There's no people around anymore. It's totally quiet. The lights literally go out. What do you make of that?
So Jeremy Zaney, who I love, who's one of my oldest and, you know, a very good friend, said to me that it sounded to him like a screen memory, because he was like, people, when they have screen memories, they have like that static feeling in the air, and then they see something crazy like that so they won't see what's actually there. And I did think about that, because I did grow up in, you know, a house that's, you know, anyone you can ask was haunted, but I used to have experiences where I kind of thought I was being abducted by aliens, which is really weird to say, Shannon, but it was like weird experiences where I literally floated off my bed, or like things like that would happen to me. And so I got into John Mack and I was reading all these experiences. I'm like, this happened to me. And I would freak out and I'm like, oh my God, aliens are stealing me out of my bed. So I recall being younger in my room and having that same staticky feeling, which is why I was talking about people who deal with the paranormal are used to that feeling, that Oz effect where everything goes quiet and then there's a weird buzzing sound. So I was trying to, like, see, like, a similarity between that and, again, like, when I had weird sleep paralysis or issues, like, when I was younger, like, in the night. And it was kind of similar. So I kind of took what he said in stride, but I didn't see a spaceship. I didn't see anything that would lead me to believe, like, that extraterrestrials were trying to play with my mind. I didn't have any missing time, anything like that. It's just, I honestly, that's an explanation that I respect, but at the end of the day, I really think I saw a flesh and blood creature, and the reason I believe it is because when I was in middle school, I have an awesome teacher who was really intrigued by the fact that my sister and I lived in this huge house behind the church, and our house was connected by the church at one point. We had underground tunnels that were filled with earth and whatnot. So we have like a crazy history about our house that we grew up in that my family still owns. And he was so curious about, like, oh my God, you guys actually live there, that he would dig up stories about, like, you know, our neighborhood and everything. And I just remember him telling us, and I was into this stuff, so I knew what he was talking about. My sister was not interested. She was like, no, I'm a chicken. Do not tell me any of this crap. I don't want to hear this. But he would say, oh yeah, you know, that the natives used to talk about skinwalkers in that area, and they used to tell people not to settle there, don't, you know, make houses there, don't put farms there, but no one ever listened to them, and they just did it anyways. And so I always have that in the back of my mind, like, okay, I lived here my whole life, people around here are just like, whatever, because this is what we know, we're a modern society, we don't think of those things, but what about the people who lived here before? What kind of issues did they run into? What kind of things did they see because they decided to plant roots here? And is what he told me like 100% true, or is it just like old fables passed down? Because if I could believe that what I looked at, what I saw was a skinwalker, but why are you wearing like, I don't know, a shirt? Unless it's like something that's old school, and to me, I perceived it as a shirt, but I feel like that kind of throws a little wrench in the, you know, in the idea of it being some ancient being, because it was wearing something that I deemed to be modern. It wasn't wearing something that was like an old tunic or something. But then again, I could be wrong, because I'm saying shirt because it was a long sleeved shirt. I don't know. It could have been a tunic that was long sleeve for all we know. I'm not going to venture to say 100%, oh, he was wearing a tunic, when I really can't even recall the color. So I don't know. It's something that I know could be tied to the land there, very possibly, considering what I've researched and what I've been told. It's just I can't prove it 100% because those stories are old, and I don't recall anyone in my neighborhood ever saying anything about, oh, I saw a werewolf. I've heard crazy stories about people saying dogs running down the street with fire coming out of their mouths. I've heard people say crazy things about, like, for instance, my sister's experience where a man she thought was a werewolf, she always says werewolf, but he was basically beckoning her to cross the street to him. And, I mean, there are crazy stories in this neighborhood, but I've never, ever, ever heard anyone say anything similar to what I saw.
It was beckoning her to come across the street to him?
Yeah. My sister, she was like 8 years old. Like, to this day, my sister swears up and down, like, because, like I said, remember when I ran in the door and I said to her, my mother, I saw a werewolf, and she said, I believed you. You know, I believe you. It's because she had an experience when she was 8 years old that she always says to this day was a werewolf. She, in her mind, werewolf. Like, that's what she calls this guy. But I can tell you that story if you want me to give you the details, because she's talked about it so many times. I literally know the story. Like,
I would love it.
My hand. So she was eight. My family's home is, it's connected, but you can go in on both sides. So my grandparents on the left, if you're coming up into the gate, and my mom and them were on the right. So my little sister was at my grandparents' house. And my grandmother gives her a bowl of rice to run and bring to my mom. And it's about around 8-ish at night. It's before we had to go to bed. So she's like, okay, I'm going to go home and bring this rice. And she's walking across the yard, and she hears, like, somebody beckoning her, like, trying to get her attention. And she turns and looks towards the gate, and there is this man across the street. And she said he has hair almost like dreadlocks, but, like, you know, kind of Medusa-ish, because I guess the dreadlocks are moving. I don't know. And he had these flaming red eyes, and he had like this huge mouth with like all these fangs, like a mouth that was just, it's not like humanly possible to have a mouth that big with all those fangs. And he's just grinning at her, and he's like, he's got his hand in front of him, like beckoning her, like with that one finger, and the claw, she said it was like a long claw, like an elongated finger with a claw, and he was just beckoning her to come to him, like, just come here, come here. And she freaked out, she dropped the rice, she turned around, she ran back to my grandmother's house and started banging on the door, screaming and screaming and banging. And then my grandmother comes down and she tells my grandmother, I just saw a monster and whatever. And my grandmother was just, you know, okay, you're a kid. My grandmother didn't, you know, my grandmother never said to us, oh, you're losing it or whatever. She would just listen to you. And so my grandmother walked her across the yard, and my sister said he was gone. But my grandmother walked her across the yard and got her in the house, and my sister did not sleep all night. She kept waking me up to stay awake. She kept telling me, don't look out the window. It was like the summer, so we had to close the windows and the curtains. We put our books in front of the curtains so the curtains wouldn't move. It was such a scary experience that she was traumatized, and like I was traumatized with her because I believed her, and I was so scared we literally could not sleep all night. It was just something that lasted for a while where we were just thinking, okay, if we're going to go over my grandmother's, we're going to go home before it turns dark, because it just stayed with us. I was just like, I'm not going to run across the yard in the dark. And it's something that lasted for a while, because I don't recall ever leaving my grandparents' house in the dark until I was like 16 or 17. And I never saw what she saw, but I 100% believed her because she was traumatized.
Did she, so she called it a man with dreadlocks, but when you told your story, yours seems more close to something that was basically totally covered in hair or fur. Did she say that hers was basically the same, or did she really just think it had mostly these moving dreadlocks on its head?
Hers, the way she describes it is completely different, but she's convinced he was a werewolf because his mouth was so gigantic, like elongated. That with the teeth. So that's what tells, she says werewolf because to her that's what she thought when she saw him, when he had that huge mouth with all the teeth hanging out of it. So yeah, she always says werewolf because of that. I saw like a classic crazy, I swear, like movie, like film werewolf, like an exact like werewolf where she saw a man with an elongated, like a elongated mouth with all these teeth that she said, like she didn't, like so many teeth like just coming out of his mouth. And so she, for her, that was like, that's a werewolf. You know what I mean? So that was her description.
That is an interesting thought from your friend about the whole screen memory thing. But I got to tell you, because you hear about the screen memories, and usually they're supposed to replace it with something that's a little bit more toned down. Like, I wonder if, you know, whoever was in control that night, if we're assuming it's a screen memory, which we're, you know, we're not. I'm just trying to bring this up. Somebody needed to go, abort, abort, you're going too far with Tina, you need to tone it down. Like, you're putting a werewolf with a freaking shirt on down there in front of her, 3 feet away. Okay, so the family tie-in stuff is actually pretty darn strong.
Yeah, like I said, I grew up in a haunted house. It's not, You know, I don't throw it out there carelessly. It's just something that I know I have backup for, I have corroboration for, because every single person in my entire family has had a crazy experience in that house. So, that's literally, to me, it's just normal to say, yeah, I grew up in a haunted house. But we used to see crazy things all the time. So, like I said, this werewolf experience, even though it's crazy, it's not the scariest I've ever experienced. It's just crazy because I literally saw what I would consider to be a Hollywood monster. Like, to me, that's crazy. Like, the things I've seen, I've never seen anything that just you could throw into a movie. It was, I don't know. It was just crazy to see something I never thought in a million years I would ever see. It's just, like, I think of all the things I have seen, and I'm just like, I never in my life ever thought I would come across something that looked like a legit werewolf. Never.
Would you ever want to see that thing again?
No, I'm being honest, no. That's why when I hear people say how they would love to see, like, you know, Dogman or like, Bigfoot or whatever, I'm like, some people just don't, they want to because they don't know what's in store for them. They don't know that you're not just looking at this monster. You're literally altering the air around you. They're not just going to show up and then disappear. They literally, like, disturb everything. They disturb, like, the air. They disturb your physicality. They disturb a lot of things. Just, it's like they're out of place and they don't belong there because you literally notice there's a disturbance in the force. Like, that's the only way to explain it. There's a disturbance in the force. These things don't just show up and then bounce. No, you can't hear. The air turns different. People disappear. The world alters. It's like a crazy thing that happens that I honestly feel like people, until it happens to them and they realize, I don't ever want to deal with that ever again, they're always thinking it's a novelty thing to have in their life. Like, oh, my God, it would be awesome. No, it wouldn't. I'm telling you right now, whoever's listening, it would not be awesome to see that, because I'm 43 now, and I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't start sleeping with the lights out until I was almost 30. And it's not a good thing when you're a grown woman and you literally sleep with your light on all the time. And if your light bulb pops, heck no. You got to get to CVS or the store, like, right away and replace that thing, because it's going to be on all night the next night. And it's just any little sound, because it's just, oh, my God, it's just that thing on top of everything else I've dealt with in my life. It was that one little thing I did not need, because all it did was just make my anxiety 10 times worse. And to this day, even though it's like kind of like an old wound, it's something in the background, when I walk down streets in the dark, I walk in the middle of the street. I do not walk on the sidewalks. I do not walk too close to people's homes or nothing. I'm that person who will be walking in the street. If the street is dead, you're definitely going to see me walking in the middle of the street, because I do not trust walking close to anyone's yard, anyone's hedges, anyone's fence. I don't care, especially in this neighborhood. No, I'm more afraid of that thing jumping out than I am of, like, having hoodlums chase me to rob me or anything. And that's a legit statement. I am more afraid of that. Like, seriously.
I don't blame you a bit. See, that's so well said, is that it's said all the time, be careful what you wish for, right? Because people tell me that all the time with the whole Bigfoot thing. And I totally get that, because I'll hear some of these stories and go, well, yeah, I want to see a Bigfoot, or I want to see this or that, but I don't want that situation. And guess what? You don't get to pick how you see things or what the situation is. And you certainly didn't choose to see one of these damn things within 3 feet. So, nope.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, a nope, a capital nope. Yeah, definitely did not pick that. Definitely did not think of all the things in the world I would want to see. Oh, I'd love to see a werewolf. No, never, never. Maybe a mermaid, you know what I mean? But not a werewolf.
I think it'd be cool to see a mermaid, but I think if you're a dude, like, you're not right. Like, you're really not supposed to be screwing with mermaids if you're a dude. I think we'd be bro-ing it up with them. But yeah, they're supposed to take the men folk down, and you know, they're never seen again, right? With the
That'd
mermaid situation, yeah, we would be fine, but the boys would not be. So yeah,
no, they wouldn't. Which makes me think, you know, with the werewolves, are the women fine? With Bigfoot, are we fine? Because these are mostly male or masculine monsters. Like, are we okay when they see women? What, like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe guys, yeah, they want to fight them or whatever, but I'm like, how many women have disappeared because of things like this? This is kind of, like, this is not good, because all I thought the entire time looking at him was like, he's just going to snatch me up. And my mother and them are just going to know that I was on my way home from school. They're not going to even know what route I took or anything. Like, that's it. That's all they're going to know about me, is I disappeared on my way home from UMass Boston. Like, no, I'm good. That's just scary.
And, Tina, I know that you listen to plenty of shows. You do your own show. And it's something that I've asked so many times. When someone is in front of something that is just so, so large, and it's built for business, it can handle itself better than the biggest man could. I mentioned, like, a Jay Cutler or Arnold Schwarzenegger. It just seems like no matter who is standing in front of it, if it wanted to come out, not only do you have this weird situation where the lights are, it's dark, the people are gone, which is so strange, but if it wanted to come out and snatch you, it does seem like, you kind of already hinted, that it could do that without leaving any trace behind. And if it grabbed you quick enough and hard enough, you wouldn't probably be able to even make a sound.
No. It really did seem... And the thing is, I don't know to this day if it was trying to... I don't know if it was trying to intimidate me or if it was curious. That's the one thing I cannot answer. I don't know what the point was. I don't know if I was walking by as it happened to be doing whatever it was doing, or if I was invading its space at the time where it suddenly jumped into the universe and I was happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. I don't even know. I don't have an answer, because the way it looked at me, it's like, it could have torn me apart. It could have grabbed me, but it just looked at me. It didn't do anything else. It didn't reach out for me. It didn't, like, snarl at me. It opened its mouth, but it didn't snarl at me. I don't recall a snarl. I don't recall, like, it making any kind of sound. I don't know. I wonder if it was just sizing me up, honestly. Like, what is this thing walking by my space? Because I feel like it was probably just sizing me up. It was curious. It didn't present to me, like, even though it was something I've never seen in my life, and the first thought in my head was, oh my God, a monster, I'm going to die. I just sometimes wonder, maybe it wasn't even trying to do anything to me. It was just probably looking at me like, what is this?
That's a good point, Tina, and I wonder if it was either one guy or two guys or maybe even a group of guys, would it have even popped its head out? Would it have gotten more aggressive? Would it have, you know, like, aggressive at all, but would it have then snarled or then come out and done something differently?
Exactly. We'll never know until somebody calls you or calls Timothy Renner or anybody else or Wes or anyone and says, yeah, what happened was me and five of my guy friends. We're never going to know until somebody calls in and says something like that similar happened to them and it happened to be a group of guys. I don't know. I just know I was one lone female in my early 20s who was just minding my business, walking home, and I don't even know what I did to... I don't know. I don't know what I did to attract that. I really don't. I can't even recall what I was thinking other than, oh, I have so much work to do. That's all I remember thinking. Not anything about, oh, I'd like to, you know, see a werewolf. Never. Never.
Well, what's a bummer is if that was supposed to be a screen memory, you know, it would have been more pleasurable to just see a big owl or something, right? I mean, wouldn't that have been nice that evening instead of the werewolf?
Yeah, true. That's what I'm wondering. I'm like, instead of appearing as a creepy creature, you should have just presented yourself as, like, some weird little old lady going through the trash, like a trash can or something. So I could have kept on walking on my merry way and didn't know that you snatched me up or did anything to me. But I don't know. It's just, I still think about it to this day, and it's just, there's way more questions than answers, and I feel that's what we're always left with, more questions. We never get answers.
Well, you heard that first here, guys. We want to hear, Tina and I, we want to hear you either email me, get in touch with somebody and go, I threw down with a werewolf. That's what we want to hear. So get in touch, because we want that story.
Exactly.
Okay, last thing about this story. What the hell is with the purse sitting up in the middle of the road like it had been placed there?
Oh, my goodness. Shannon, let me tell you, I gave that bag away. So after that incident... So it was like, I don't know how to explain the style. Coach had these little tote bags made out of leather that you zipped on the top, and they had four legs on the bottom. So they do stand up. They had like four little metal legs on the bottom. But I had literally nothing in the bag. And then when you don't have anything in it, it like kind of topples over to the side because it's kind of empty. And all I had in that bag was like my wallet and like I think a notebook or something. I didn't have anything that would make it stiff and make it sit upright. Nothing in there because every time I put it down next to me on the train, it would just like topple over every time. It was not sturdy at all. It was like really soft leather. And so to walk in the middle of the street and to see it stiff, to see it like literally pointing to the sky, that's the first sign to me that something creepy was happening. Because I'm like, first of all, I wasn't standing that far into the street. It's literally on the dividing line in the middle of the street. It's sitting right on it, and it's stick straight. It's like literally pointing to the sky. My bag is like sitting straight. And so when I ran and I grabbed it, I thought it was going to be heavy or maybe something would be in my bag, but no, it was just my bag. It was light. And I grabbed it, and I ran all the way home, and I just remember throwing it down. I was afraid to touch it. I was afraid to go in it and mess with it for a few days. And then when I finally did go in and look in it, it was my usual stuff in there. It was like, I think I had like a notebook in there. I think I had a Moleskine or something in there. I had a small notebook in there with notes, and I had some pens, a wallet. I can't recall everything else that was in there. I just know everything was at the bottom of the bag, so there wasn't nothing long enough that would have kept that bag sitting straight. There was nothing that was long enough to, you know, to reach all the way to the zipper and maybe make that bag stand up stiff. Nothing, nothing. And I remember just throwing that bag in my closet. Every time I moved, I would throw that bag into like a bin. I never used it again. Perfectly good bag, barely used, cost me a fair amount of money. And I was just like, nah, I'm good with that bag. And then I remember a coworker saying she needed like a bag for work or so, you know, like for her other job, and she had to dress up corporate or whatever, and she needed like a nice dress bag. I said, I got something for you, and I just gave it away. So you can have my bag. She's like, do you want money for it? I'm like, no, just take the bag. You can have it.
No, you're good. Here you go.
take my cursed bag.
Yeah, you're like, oh, a monster touched this. Here you go. I mean,
I didn't tell the story, but I just said you can have the bag. It's all good. You don't have to pay me for it. Just take it.
Oh my goodness! I don't even know what to make of that. That is a cool story. I mean, I'm sorry that happened and that it terrified you. You had to sleep with the lights on for many, many years. I would do the same thing, but it's holy crap, guys! There are some really amazing things out amongst us in this world, and they're just right there. And sometimes they just decide to pop right in and say hello and really screw our world up. At least our view of it can get changed very quickly.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. The world is not the way we see it at face value all the time. There's a lot of deeper, crazier things going on.
Would you mind, and only if you're okay with it, would you stay on long enough with me to tell what you said was your maybe one of your scariest experiences? It doesn't matter what subject matter it was. Would you tell one more story?
Sure, no problem, because I'm going to tell you this story because I recently got made fun of again because of something that has to do with this story. So I would like to tell this story so that this person can listen to this and stop hassling me about it. So I will totally tell you this story, which is one of the scariest experiences I ever had, just so that a coworker of mine can stop hassling me. So what happened was when I was a kid, I think I was about 8 or 9. I would say around 9 because that's when the Golden Girls first started. I remember that week the Golden Girls had just come out. So I'm thinking I was about 9 years old. And so at night, my mom, she would leave the TV on all night. And it was like the early years of cable where you didn't hear the static in the middle of the night anymore. Music would play instead. I don't know if you remember that, but it would just be like random music playing. And it didn't even have to be MTV. It would just be some song or something playing in the middle of the night. And so it's the middle of the night and we're all sleeping. And all of a sudden, I just hear Michael Jackson's Thriller playing. And I jump up out of my sleep, and normally if something's playing, I don't think it would have scared me, but something about it just made, like, something was wrong, and I jumped out of my sleep. And I jump out of my sleep, and I open my eyes, and in front of my bed, I just see, like, vaguely, like, a misty white form of a human just standing in front of my bed. So already I'm like, oh, my God, I'm freaking out because I'm just like, something's in the room, something's in my room. And I turn to look at my sister, and she's completely knocked out. She's asleep. She's got the blanket over her head. And I'm like, I'm by myself. I'm by myself, and my mom's bedroom door is open. I see the light flashing from the TV, and Michael Jackson's Thriller is just playing. And all of a sudden, this form just starts to come, starts to coalesce and look more and more like a person. And as it starts to coalesce, I see more of these white shadows just reappearing. They're just appearing up in front of my bed, but they're moving. They're like just, and the best way to describe it is if you could see a cloud person moving underwater. I know this, it's like the physics of it makes no sense, but it was moving and parts of it were still behind it trying to catch up. That's how they all looked. Like they were white forms, like white clouds of shaped like people, but there were parts of them that were just pulling back and trying to catch up with them. I don't know if that makes any sense to anyone, but that's the best way I could explain it visually. And so I just see them forming, and then as they're moving, the pieces behind them are just trying to come, are just like tagging behind them. And then I look towards my sister's bed at the closet, and I realize they're coming out of the closet. These are like things just are coming, walking out of the closet. And as they're walking out of the closet, they're going across our room, and they're walking out of the door that leads into the hallway. Because this is a really old house, and back in the day, I guess the doors would open out into the hallways, and you could just, like, walk into the room. I don't know how to explain, like, a dining room or something. I don't know what that room was because it was on the second floor, but it was just, like, they were walking through out the door. So out the closet and then out the front, like, out the door from the bedroom, just out into the hallway, like, across our beds, just walking, like a procession of ghosts just walking through. And then this one in front of my bed, he starts to form, and he becomes this older gentleman in, like, suspenders with no shirt on, but he's wearing, like, these denim, like, suspender kind of, like, overalls that are cut low. They're not, like, up to the chest. They're, like, lower, like, closer to his waist. And he's just standing there, and he's just looking at me as all these ghost people who I can barely make out their faces, and that some of them have like Victorian dresses on, and some of them just have like waistcoats on and no legs at the bottom. Some of them have no heads, and they're just literally like, when I tell you, like probably in the hundreds, because it was going on for the entirety of that song, and all I'm hearing is Vincent Price talking, and I'm watching all these ghosts walk out of my closet, and then walking right across my bed and right through the door. And it was just the scariest moment, just to think of it as an adult, it is the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life, to see like a group of dead people walking through my room. And I don't know where they came from. And it's just, every time I hear that song, I just think of that moment, and I hate that song so much. That song actually scares me, because if I ever hear that song in the middle of the night again, I swear I would just like run out of the apartment and never come back. That's how I feel. And so when I do hear that song, my family knows. They're like, oh, no, don't play Thriller. Tina doesn't like it. But I have friends who just think it's the funniest thing that I have a phobia for that song. And I'm like, little do you know, I had a procession of dead people walk past my bed when I was like 9 years old to the tune of that song. Like, they literally just kept walking, and their bodies were separating and like stretching up behind them and like just trying to catch up with them like these weird milky clouds. And it's just, there's no way for me to explain it that would make people feel the terror that I felt just watching this happen. I could never in a million years just explain it so that people could understand the terror I had as a child, and why it added to the fact that I just never was comfortable in the dark. I could never like really sleep. I was that kid that used to miss the bus in the morning because I would wait till daylight to fall asleep. And it's just, that's one of the situations that added to that and really, I think, bolstered my anxiety and all kinds of issues that I had as a kid, is because I watched a procession of dead people walk through my bedroom when I was like 9 years old. And it's just, I feel like it talking about it, like tonight, nothing better not come visit me tonight, because I'm not going to be happy. But it was just, it was Shannon. I don't know again how to explain it for people to feel the terror that I felt that day, just watching this happen. But that's one of the scariest moments I've ever had in my life.
Now, what about, you said your sister was asleep for that, but did she ever experience anything close to that in that house?
She recalls having her hair braided in the middle of the night by the same lady in white that I used to see walk in the room. There was a white lady. We used to call her the white lady, or the lady in white, that my aunts and uncles used to say they saw on the other side of the house when they were younger. And she had no face, and she would come just walk through the room. She'd look like she was closing the bedroom window, and then she'd always walk over to my bed, and then she'd take my blanket and cover my face. And I just remember telling my sister that, and my sister go, oh, yeah, she braids my hair at night. And that's all I remember, my sister telling me that she felt the lady braid her hair at night. And that's it. She never, like, really gave me any exact detail other than that, yeah, that's the lady that braids my hair at night.
So matter of fact about it, right?
Exactly.
So they're coming out of the closet, like usual, right? The freaking closet.
The closet.
Yeah, always the damn closet or the basement or usually the kid's closet, by the way.
I got a basement story if you want one.
Oh, let's do it.
Okay, so, like, remember, like, I was saying the house is two different sides, but it's connected, like, it's connected on the third floor. There's, like, an old little walkway that you can walk through, and it takes you to the other side of the house. Well, the basements are actually separate, and the basement on the right where I, on the side that I grew up on is where we have that room that I told you that's filled that blocks the door that leads to the underground tunnels that lead through the, to the church. So, and then the other side on my grandmother's side is, like, there's just, like, it's just scary there. It's scary no matter what, no matter who you are, you can be a grown person, it's scary. And so when we were kids, we were afraid to go in her basement because there's a weird protuberance, like the wall protrudes out and it's in the shape of a body. It's literally in the shape of a person. Like, I don't know if it was carved there. I don't know if it's like a weird bump in the wall. No one has ever explained it to us, but it looks like the shape of a person just jutting out of the wall. And it's like the weirdest thing ever. If I ever get the chance to go down there, like, anytime soon, I swear I'll take a picture so people can know that I'm not making it up. It literally looks like a person jutting out of the wall. So, my grandmother used to send us down into that basement and tell us to go grab pots for her at the bottom of the stairs or bring a pot down or something. And we would all just look at each other like, who's going? Because I'm not going. Like, and she would get so upset with us. There's nothing in the basement. Just go. And we'd be freaking out like, no, you go, trying to, you know, get each other to go. Like, I promise you I'll give you this. If you go, I'll give you my ice cream. Or, I'll, you know, trying to just coerce each other. And I lost one day. I just lost the bet. And I had to go downstairs and get this huge pot for my grandmother so she could make this special. It's like for any of the Cape Verdeans out there, it's like called cachupa. It's like, it's really good. It's like a stew. And so she's like, go downstairs and get the pot for, so I can make that. And okay, I'm going to die because nobody wants to go down for me or with me. And so I start creeping down the stairs really slowly. I put the light on. When you put the light onto the staircase, even to this day, this is how old this house is, you cannot see beyond the staircase. The light does not extend. And it's the weirdest thing because the way the light is set up, Shannon, you would think it would illuminate that whole entire front area in front of the staircase. But for some weird reason, it's like a wall of darkness that the light does not penetrate. And everyone's noticed that. My uncles have noticed that. Everyone notices that there's a wall of darkness that this stupid light does not penetrate. So you have to literally go in there, and my grandfather had installed a whole nother light bulb for no reason because you can't get the light to penetrate that darkness. So you have to literally go reach out into the dark and hit and pull another cord to put an entirely different light on. So I get to the bottom of the stairs, well, actually the second to last stair, and I'm like, I'm going to reach my hand out, and I'm going to reach for this light, and I'm going to put this light on, and it's not that dark because I can vaguely see the light from outside from the window that's all the way on the other corner of the, you know, of the basement, so I know there's nothing there or whatever. And I reach my hand out to go put on this light, and I just hit something. I literally hit something that just, when I hit it, it's like dust or something. It's like if you hit an old bean bag or something that has dust or something on it, like a bag or like, I don't know, like a potato sack or something. That's what I hit. When I reached my hand out, I hit something. And I just remember like a cloud like coming at me like of dirt or whatever. And I pull my hand back like there was nothing there. There's nothing there. This is the open space of the basement. There was nothing there that I would hit to reach my hand out to put the light on. So I'm like, okay, maybe one of my uncles moved something over there. I'm just going to reach again. I reach again to go and put this light on, and I swear to you, Shannon, I am not making this up, I smack what feels like skin. I smack something that feels like I hit somebody's chest, you know, their chest or whatever, with no shirt, or maybe like a part of their collar or something. I just smack something like skin. I did not hesitate. I didn't think twice. I turned around on that staircase, and I booked up them stairs. Like, screw this. I ran up the stairs. I ran up to my grandmother. I said, I'm not going to the basement. I'm not getting in. I was so defiant that I actually got in trouble. I said, I'm not going to the basement. I don't care. You can call my mother. I'm not going down there. There's somebody down there. I'm not going down there. She's like, there's nobody down there. You guys always put stuff in your head. And I'm like, no, I just hit a person. I touched somebody. And then that's when she kind of stopped because, like I said, my grandmother, when you tell her exact details of something, she kind of, I'm not going to say she believes you, but she kind of gives you a second, like, she just looks at you like, you know, like, okay, maybe you're not full of crap or whatever. And so she goes down the basement. She goes down. It's taking a while. I'm thinking whoever's down there killed my grandmother because why didn't my grandmother come back upstairs yet? There's a murderer downstairs. I hit him. He's pissed. He killed my grandmother. She's not coming back upstairs. So I go into the hallway and I look down the staircase and here comes my grandmother up the stairs with the pot and she's mumbling under her breath how we're chickens and she doesn't know where we got this from, that she's not scared of nothing, that her whole entire life she's seen ghosts, she's seen this, she's seen that, she's never been scared of the dark. She doesn't get why these new kids, these Americanized kids are so scared of everything. She's giving this whole speech under her breath coming up the stairs all pissed off and she's like, there's nothing down there. There was nothing down there. You made me go down there for nothing. There was nothing down there. And I, to this day, I'm telling you right now, I love my grandmother. My grandmother's one of my favorite people on the planet. But my grandmother does not know what she's talking about because I smacked something that felt like a person was purposely standing in front of me, blocking me from, you know, putting the light on. It was something there, and it was dusty. It was something that was covered in dirt or dust or something because when I hit it, it basically billowed back at me, like the whatever the dirt or whatever was billowed back at me, like it was floating. You could see the particles floating in the light where the light didn't, you know, where the light was cut off by the darkness. You could see it coming at me, like the stuff was blowing at me, and I don't, to this day, I don't know what the heck it was.
Maybe that was your friend visiting with the overalls and no shirt, and he's just like popping up everywhere now. He needs to calm down, doesn't he?
I don't even want to think about that because I saw that thing one more time, and that's what it's funny because so The Haunting of Hill House, the show that was on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it?
Sure did.
I think I recall you saying it. I just wasn't sure. That's why I want to make sure I'm right that you did see it, so you know what you recall the floating man, right, with the top hat.
Oh my god, guy with the, that was very well done. That was a very scary element.
So my aunt told my mom that she needed to watch that show because it reminded her of their childhood, of all the things they dealt with in our family's house. And my mom was afraid. She refused to watch the show. And I told my mom the same thing. I said, when I watched it, it reminded me of all the things me and my sister dealt with when my mom was at work and we were home alone, all the things we heard and saw. And my aunt corroborated and said, oh my God, she's like, you need to watch it. That's our childhood. That entire movie is our childhood in this house. I'm telling you, you're going to freak out. And one of the things that she reminded me when she told my mom that, I had tried to ask my mom about it, but my mom is such a chick. She's like, I don't want to hear it, is there was kind of a guy that did float around in my house that I did see like once or twice. I only say once or twice because I don't know the second time if it was the same thing. It kind of resembled the same guy, but it wasn't overall guy. I just remember a guy in a suit that didn't walk, that floated, that just kind of like dragged across the floor. So I always wondered in the back of my head, is my aunt talking about the same thing? Like, I didn't ask her about it because some things my family doesn't want to talk about, like really scary things they do not want to talk about. They'll cut you off. They'll go, I don't want to talk about it. But I'm like, did she see the same floating guy? Because the way she described it to my mom, like, that's us in the house, the guy floating across the floor and whatever. I'm like, oh my God, I remember something like that. That's the part that scared me. I remember like a guy that used to float around. Like, he wasn't evil or mean or nothing. It's like he was residual because he didn't really look at me or nothing. But I just recall he didn't walk. He just like dragged along the floor. And I'm just like, oh my God, I wonder if they saw the same thing. And that's why it reminds my aunt of their childhood.
Yeah, that dude in that show dragging his toes, and yeah, he's just float. I'm like, not this guy again. That stuck with you when you saw that. So I can't imagine actually seeing that, anything like that in person. Holy smokes, Tina, that place is active.
Yeah, it really is. The weird thing too I can say is, which my family does agree with, since my grandfather's death, we always say that it's not as bad as it was because we feel like my grandfather's there. When we were younger, we felt like there was like a malevolent spirit there. Like my brother and I had a similar situation with a Freddy Krueger-like thing. So we always thought it was just bad. Always, everything there is bad. Everything there is evil. But then when my grandfather died, my mom and all of them admitted it was like a weight had been lifted. Like, yeah, you still hear things. Yeah, you might still see things, but you're not scared anymore. We always feel like my grandfather, it's because my grandfather's there. It's so hard to explain, but it really legit feels that way because I'm not scared in that house anymore when I go there. I don't get a bad vibe anymore. And I slept there one time, like which was like years ago, but that time that I slept there, it wasn't the same as when I was a child. And I was just, I can't wait for daylight. I'm going to keep looking out the window till daylight. It wasn't any of that feeling. I literally fell asleep and I slept like a baby. So I feel like there's a good presence there, and we always attribute it to my grandfather, and maybe it is him, but it's like there's a good presence there, and a lot of the things that we saw and experienced when we were younger, they're not there anymore, or they're being kept at bay because we don't see them or experience them. The newer kids in the family don't see crazy things like that. They're not afraid. So it's like, I don't know if all that stuff has faded out, if it was only there for a certain time because of certain, you know, hormones or having, my grandparents had 11 kids, so it could have been something to do with that, or I don't know what it is. I can't pinpoint it. I can't give an answer, but I just know that it's a lighter feeling now when you're in that house.
Yeah, maybe your grandfather's handling business, right? Like, you're not going to be scaring anybody anymore, guys, so calm it down.
I would totally believe that because my grandfather was, like, badass. My grandfather was a huge dude, and nobody messed with him. So I feel like in the afterlife, he's the same way.
I'll bet he is. That's pretty cool, actually. Yeah, if you ever think about it and are down there or want to go down there, that would be pretty neat to see the body-like protrusion from the wall. I don't know if I've ever heard anything like that. We've seen Han Solo in Carbonite before, but I don't know if I've ever heard of such a thing in a house.
Yeah, it looks literally, the best way to describe it, because it's not exactly a defined person, it looks more like a sarcophagus kind of thing pulled out the wall. Mm. That's the best way to describe it, like an Egyptian sarcophagus-like shape coming out of the wall, but you can make up the distinct shape of a head and the distinct shape of a human body going all the way across the wall. And ever since we were kids, we always asked my grandparents, what the heck is that? And they're like, oh, it's just a thing in the wall. But I'm like, it looks like a damn person buried, like a person that got plastered over in the wall. It's just, it makes no sense. It's just the weirdest, most uncanny shape coming out of a basement wall. It just makes no sense. It makes no sense.
What if this whole time it's literally the body and just, you know, exhuming that could have just fixed everything, you know, and no weird things to smack into in the basement when you can't see. And I mean, that's a stretch, but my goodness, just the thing in the wall, that is a very unique addition to a house. But you mentioned the man that was fascinated with you guys' property and the area and the land, and him kind of espousing this history lesson on you and telling you, hey, like, there's not even supposed to be buildings here. This land has all kinds of stuff going on it, which we hear a lot of times going down. I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of good and bad stuff that's gone down on lots of parcels of land across the U.S. But I will say, you guys over yonder there, East Coast, have a lot more history than we do out here, and a lot darker history too, obviously. I mean, you're in Mass, you have Salem witch trials out there, there's all kinds of things that have gone down within proximity to where you are, so pretty fascinating stuff.
Yes, they actually hung witches. What I heard also is that they hung people and possibly witches and whatnot in Boston Common too. I've never, like, been able to 100% corroborate that, but I know that they used to hang people there too. So I'm like, that's cutting it a little too close because it's all over the place.
right. You're like, okay, we didn't need to add to this, guys. Come on now.
Exactly.
Well, Tina, before I let you go, can we talk a little bit about your podcast and let people know where to find that?
Awesome. Yes. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Our podcast is called The Cauldron Cast. Basically, what we do is we just talk about, we are not experts, we're students of the paranormal, that's how we present ourselves, but we're 100% intrigued with it, like everyone else. We've all had experiences. Casey Davis Folk and Christy Davis, they both grew up in a haunted house. Marisol Patrick is my best friend. We both went ghost hunt. We've been going, you know, been on ghost hunting excursions and whatnot since we were in high school. Tara Bennett is our, like, you know, our horror film queen extraordinaire. And then there's myself. And so we just bring different perspectives and we talk about different topics ranging from old school spirituality and our own ghost experience, you know, haunted experiences and whatnot. And just, I don't know, I think we just vibe. We just try to bring a female voice to the paranormal without trying to be professionals or know-it-alls or whatnot. I'm the skeptic. Even though it doesn't sound like it, ladies and gentlemen, I am a skeptic. So it's like, I feel like we just try to bring a different kind of vibe to it. And we're kind of influenced by people like you. We're influenced by everyone who is just finding these stories and bringing us together and letting us know that we're not alone and letting us know that no matter your experience or no matter your background, that the paranormal does not exclude anyone. It doesn't discriminate. And that maybe, you know, studying the paranormal shouldn't exclude anyone and discriminate. So that's basically what our vibe is. And it's called, again, the Cauldron Cast. You can find us on iTunes and you can find us on Spotify.
I honestly, I think the longer I do this, just the more questions that I do have. So that's why doing the show is an easy no-brainer for me every week, because I never get tired of the stories and I never get tired of asking the questions, which, by the way, did I not tell you I was going to be super just like hammering you and being super annoying with so many questions? And I so was. And I appreciate you just being very willing to answer all of those. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Shannon, because the reason why I listen to you every single time you drop something new is because you ask the right questions. And I know it's weird for people to say the right questions. What are the right questions? You basically, you let people talk and you ask the questions that someone listening would ask. You always ask that question, because every time I listen to you, I'm always like, oh my goodness, what about this? And you literally ask that same exact question right afterwards. So you might think it's being annoying, or you might think you're asking too many questions, but let me tell you, you dive so deep into someone's story or experience that you leave no stone unturned. And that's why it's an awesome experience, because a person will not think about these things. They'll have this experience and they'll never have these questions. And then they'll talk to you and you make them think of things they never thought of before, which is enlightening, because it gives a new perspective to the experience. And it also shows how much more crazier an experience can be, because you can't even bring any logic into it. So I'm telling you right now, you asked the best questions. I felt so comfortable. I was so anxious, and you just made me feel like talking. So, and because you make people feel like a friend, and so I really appreciate that. You're awesome.
Thank you so much, Tina. Gosh, that was nice to hear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. So again, that is the Cauldron Cast with Tina Senna and all of her friends. I will make sure that that is linked in show notes, everybody, and so that you guys can check out her show. Tina, it has been a pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Keep being awesome.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little bark. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. And then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are.
No, we don't believe literally in reincarnation. That after your funeral, you know, you will suddenly become somebody different, living somewhere else. They will say reincarnation means this, that if you sitting here now are really convinced that you're the same person who walked in at the door half an hour ago, you're being reincarnated. If you are liberated, you understand that you're not. The past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. There is only the present. That's the only real you that there is. The Zen master Dogen put it in this way. He said, spring does not become the summer. First there is summer, and then there is spring.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.